two newspaper reviewers tonight?
They sound quite jolly, actually.
Quite? You're only giving damning with faint praise there. A quite.
What? Should I say very, very jolly?
Well, flattery, you know.
I've had a Red Bull, so...
It's all right, our blogger has wings. And Kimberly's Australian.
Yes.
Okay. John, back to you, John.
Okay. What I've got to say is that on average, men have got more muscle mass percentage.
Right. Now, is this a spurious point, or is it related to the calorific intake of the female?
It's related to calorific intake, because generally, if you're exercising to lose weight, or, well, actually to get a better body shape, mm-hmm. recommend that you increase your muscle mass so it burns more energy, muscle mass, than fat.
So you're saying that if, for example, if my blogger, who's male,
yeah.
okay, he's called Clayton,
yeah.
if he weighed the exact same as my female
yeah.
specimen, Kimberly, they don't, she's far
slimmer.
More petite. if they weighed the exact same, you're saying that Kimberly would still burn less calories because although they were the same weight, she would be more fat and
yeah.
Clayton would be more muscle.
On average, percentage body weight.
You know, I'm sorry, you know we talked about who is God. God was a male chauvinist. Because he built men with more inbuilt muscle than women who have a higher fat content.
Yeah, but yeah. women are more intelligent.
Yeah, but women also lose fertility quicker.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really unfair. Mother Nature, God, call it what you will. Male chauvinist.
Well, you just do an Angelina Jolie and adopt a few, don't you?
Women live longer.
What was that, John?
But women live longer, so...
Yeah, but barren and fat.
Swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Thanks, John. Would you rather die earlier with lots of children and lots of muscle or live longer with lots of fat and no children? That's the choice.
Like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, all right, you skinny, lean woman, you, or whatever you are, strange man. You're my neighbour, by the way, John.
Yeah, because I live in Camberwell.
Yeah, but I'm the armpit of Camberwell, known as Loughborough Junction.
My friend used to live on the bit where Loughborough Junction meets Camberwell.
Was he a mugger or mugged?
No, he lived above a shop.
So he was safe?
Yeah.
Good. OK. It's been good to talk to you. Do you ever check out the Soho blogger?
No, I've never heard of it, but I have now.
And if a five-year-old asked you who God was, what would you say?
Man with a big white beard.
Nice. I like that conventional streak in you, John. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
That was lovely. John, if you'd like to join in the conversation, please do. We need to know what you'd tell a five-year-old if he asked you who was God. 020-722-42000. So far, man with a big white beard. I like that a lot. Although, again, it's sexist.
Yeah.
No evidence that God is a male. We also need to know which man was the first man in the last 70 years to grace the front page, the cover of Good Housekeeping, because we're talking domesticity. And also, do either of you two get anything delivered to your doorstep regularly, like milk or papers or...
Time out.
Bills.
You don't, do you?
The time out, yeah. I get that. Oh, is that
you
weird?
Get it free.
But isn't that with the... The postman brings that, though, Kimberly.
Oh, OK. This means... Especially, so you're referring
yeah,
to...
Yeah, like in the olden days, you had the milkman.
Oh,
and
no.
No.
We used to have the Avon lady came round.
Bing bong.
No. Okay, not that.
Yeah, she used to go... That's
oh, yeah, that was a
Avon
bing bong.
Calling,
yeah.
Avon calling, Avon calling.
I yeah. thought you were switching me off. Bing bong.
No.
Shut up, playing bing bong.
Encouraging. I was extending the analogy.
Right, yeah, we used to get the Avon lady.
Face cream? Your face cream?
No, I remember she used to come round when my mum... They used to have those parties and summer's parties. No, my mum didn't do that. It was an Avon lady party.
Would you like to tell us all where you were born?
Weston-super-Mare.
Why do you sound so pleased?
Well, every time I say Weston-super-Mare, people always laugh, so I get the laugh in there first. It's one of those names, isn't it? When you say Weston-super-Mare, people always go, ooh.
Do you know, I don't want to say anything. I know Weston-super-Mare very well. I had my honeymoon in Weston-super-Mare.
No! Yeah. How embarrassing.
Thanks.
Oh.
It's all right. No, it's fine. No, I'm not. No, it's fine. If anybody would like to share anything they know about Weston-super-Mare with us, this is a free-for-all. Anything you know about Weston, have you ever been there? Do you know anything about it? Kimberly, you're foreign.
Yes, I have no idea
you don't
what
know
you're
anything
talking
about. It.
It sounds like a village or
it's
something.
It's near
country.
Bristol. It's by the sea. My family still live there, so I shouldn't say bad things about it.
So it's quite quaint and English
yeah.
and seaside.
You're gay, aren't you?
Very dare you.
You said the word pa.
No, I'm not, but my boyfriend is. Yes, I am, actually, yes.
No, I just bring that out because it's apparent when you read your blogs. I
mean, yes, yeah.
You're out.
Yeah, very much
Were
so.
Were you out in Weston-super-Mare?
Well, I kind of... I left when I was on the cusp. When I was halfway out the closet door, I got on the Baker's Flyer coach and... left.
We're going to come
back. I was 19 when I left, so I was just on the verge of coming out, and I came to London to find out what gay sex was all about.
Okay, I would like to, if you're gay, I would like to know where you grew up with your inner gayness. Because Weston-super-Mare, I think, is tough.
There was one gay pub in there, and it was only gay one Sunday in every month, and only on one side of the bar. Can you imagine that?
Wow. So you had to sort of... A long time to wait.
You did, yeah. Yeah.
And did you ever? I mean, just in, but what happens if the straight side of the bar was like your mum's friend?
Well, that was it. You had to sneak in through the back, hope no one saw you. And if anyone saw you on the other side of the bar, you'd have to quickly duck down or duck behind a pillar.
Or pretend you were just serving a drink.
Yeah, it was like a real ordeal just to get there and then to get out again, to go home.
I mean, did you have a kiss in there? A little quick kiss?
Well, no, because all the guys in there, they're all over about 70 or 80 at the time. So I think I was the youngest in the town.
It's because they're taking 70 years to come out in Weston-super-Mare, clearly. Right. 020-722-42000, anything on Weston-super-Mare? Any stories you have on being gay and where you were born gay? I mean, obviously, you know, where? I mean, the only gay in the village is that very now very famous Little Britain sketch, isn't it?
Yeah.
But is it? It's relevant, and that's why it's been so successful, I suppose.
Oh, it must still be like that. You know, we take it for granted in London, you know, that... It's very cosmopolitan. There's gay culture, gay life everywhere. And I'm on Old Compton Street. There's guys walking around kissing, holding hands. But, you know, you come from a little backwater town and it's still...
And we're coming to the newspaper. Stephen's got on the screen. Front pages, headlines. We're coming in 1 minute. OK, 1 minute. I just have to say, I was born in a tiny Highland village and I went to school with Peter. And when I look back at it, my dad, not he's a farmer from Scotland, you can imagine, not the most liberal, wears welly boots, you know. And Peter had sort of floppy hair and painted pictures. And my dad called him Puffy Peter. That's what he was called. Puffy. I mean, that is, I'm like shocked. When I look back, that's what, you know, that's what it was.
He was known as Puffy Peter.
Yeah, he was the gay in the village.
Well, we had a guy
he's
in
a very
our
successful
village.
Artist, by the way.
We had one called Peter in our village, and he was known as Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea,
Sweet Pea, Puffy Peter.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good.
It's not
is
nice,
it?
Is it?
I'm going to ring my dad up and tell him off. Actually, I've got to that stage in my relationship with him. I give him the rouse. It's BBC London newspaper headlines coming next. 020-722-42000. Do join in. If you don't like what you hear, the best thing to do is complain on 020-722-42000.
Just looking my hopes, looking my
Gorgeous, Gabrielle, gorgeous. Oh, it's BBC London 94.9. Stephen, my producer, whose job it is to be across the news and on top of it and slathering at the mouth about it, says, oh, did you know that the word, was it puff or puffed? I don't know. Was ruled by Ofcom to be acceptable when broadcasting. And I used it there. When I used it, I was saying that is what my dad said. I wasn't used. Do you know what I mean? I was therefore criticising, I hope, the use of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would feel comfortable if you weren't in the room, Clayton, yeah, as a gay man, yeah, to use the word puff.
I think if you were Jeremy Clarkson sat there, or Chris Moyle, is it Moyles?
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, the fat one, yeah.
If they were saying it and it wasn't, it was a derogatory joke, then it's different. But, you know, puffs amongst puffs, I think we can all say it and be quite relaxed about it. I think we shouldn't get too uptight about it, but if it's said really derogatory, then...
So if
depends
I fluffed your hair and went, oh, you lovely puffter, that would be okay,
mind that,
would it?
Yeah, that'd be fine. You
but
can
if
do it
I
if you
went,
want.
Oh, you puff,
yeah,
that
then,
wouldn't be fine.
Well, of course, yeah, it's the context it's said in, isn't it? And, you know, I don't think it's really that offensive, but it depends who's saying it. If it's a real racist, homophobic bigot, then... It depends whose mouth it's coming out of. As well.
It's a bit like the debate where in Big Brother, do you remember that girl got kicked out because she used the N-word?
Yes.
But she sort of said it in a... It was in a kind of conversational way. And that was why there was a debate about it, because she hadn't said it in a really aggressive way. And therefore, it was quite a controversial decision to throw her out.
Well, what's quite interesting is that you can say the word puff, but you won't say the N-word. And so it just shows you the power of that word, doesn't it? Because...
But that's because of its history.
Well, yeah, but even...
Where did the word puff come from? I don't know.
I don't know.
What's the word epistemology? What's the word for a root of a word? I can't remember. I don't know why or how it came to
But when
to
black people are referring to each other, they use the N-word, and that's acceptable. So it depends. I think you can, if you use that word, you can take away the power of it,
yeah,
can't you?
I remember at university we actually did gender issues as part of our degree, and the lecturer, he was actually a gay man, and he said, it's all right for me to call myself a puff and another gay man who's a puff, but if you're not a gay man, you can't call me a puff. And he was very adamant about that, in the same way about using the N-word. And so... because he felt it was a derogative term, well, if you weren't gay yourself.
Yeah. Hold fire. We have very important breaking news. On one line, we've got the management saying, why haven't you got to the headlines yet? We're coming.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And on the other line, we have got Wayne in Connecticut, USA. He's a huge fan of the Soho blogger.
Oh, gee.
Oh, my God. He's one of my MySpace friends.
Wayne, how are you?
I am very well, and I'm happy to be chatting.
Hey, Wayne.
Wayne, we've never spoken before. I sent you a Dirty White Boy t-shirt.
You certainly did. The finest t-shirt in my wardrobe.
Oh, this is a friend of mine on MySpace. We've been talking on email for a few months, but I've never heard your voice. Well, you've never heard mine, have you?
I've heard yours. You had a recording of a show you were on once before.
Yeah, I was on this show once before, and I posted it up on MySpace,
I did catch that.
Wayne, nice to speak to you. I only see you, but I can just picture your face on my MySpace page now.
Hey,
sorry, I'm just completely taken over the show.
No, it's fine. We love you, Clayton. But Wayne, we are curious. You've clearly got some kind of weird London obsession. You're tuning into BBC London. We love this fact. Mm. You're clocking onto the Soho blogger. You're living in the wrong country. Do you want me to marry you so that you can come and be here?
I'm marriable, I'll tell you that.
What does he look like? Have you seen his picture?
Very attractive older man, yes.
Older? How old?
There you go.
Well, my age, but...
Oh, very old.
There, that was...
Wayne, tell us about yourself. You've got, you know, you're in one of those his meets hers columns. You've got about three sentences to sum up your entire existence.
Oh, gosh. Clayton, you're so much better at this than I am. Oh, my God.
Wayne, don't get stage fright. Breathe deeply now. Breathe into the solar plexus. Don't worry.
I wasn't prepared.
Okay, let me help you with some guiding questions.
Sure.
We would like to know the decade that you were born in and what you now do to earn a humble crust and what your favorite hobby is and whether you have any domestic pets.
Okay. I take it somebody is writing and coaching you on these things. I was born in the 40s, 1947.
Right.
I am disability retired for a number of years. I'm a long-term AIDS survivor. I have a wonderful pet by the name of Monet, who's a fabulous little lovebird.
You have a lovebird?
Oh, yes, I do.
Do lovebirds talk, or are they just loving?
He chirps and chats, and, you know.
Lovely. Okay. That's nice.
I'll tell you what, I know something about...
He hasn't got to the hobbies. Hobby?
I build and repair computers, and I follow a lot of online activity.
Clearly. So we've gathered. And can I ask, you say you're an AIDS survivor. Yeah. I never understand that. Does that mean that you have HIV and it's developed into AIDS?
Yeah.
Or
long, long, long time ago.
I didn't know you could survive.
1990. Well, that's a common misconception.
I thought it's only if you contained it as HIV that you could survive.
Well, of course I do contain it, but this is going off on a very, very deep end, and we could talk for hours on this.
Well, we can't because sadly we don't have hours, but it's been fascinating to have a small postage stamp look into your life.
Oh, cool, thank you. Let me just interject one thing. Clayton, I think that maybe Leslie might be able to give you the derivation of poof.
Leslie's one of the characters that I write about on my blog. He's one of the people who come in the shop, and there's a bit of a story developing about him on my blog, and people are very interested to find out.
A bit of a story, huh?
Yeah.
It's very intimate, this. Well, I'm going to let you two talk later, but right now we've got a radio show to get on with.
Sorry.
Hey, it's been my pleasure.
Wayne, a kiss
nice
on a radio
you.
Hug.
Oh, cool.
Right here we are. You. Bye, son. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I just called him son, and he's clearly old enough to be my grandfather. Deary me. We need a couple of headlines. Mandatory. You go first, Kimberly. No, Kimberly, you go.
Okay. Apparently, the latest medical research proves that being overweight can actually help you live longer.
Oh, for crying!
There we go.
Stephen, can we have the shortbread in here, please?
So you don't have to worry about us not having enough muscle mass. You know, fat is now good. There's proof. There's new research, US research.
Wait, what paper is that in, the Star?
Okay, it's Daily Express.
Well, nobody needs that.
Okay, no, not
well, a few
one.
People, but not many.
Another quick one. I'm a nobody. Get me in anywhere.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yes.
Oh, here's the shortbread.
No, not while... He's given my newspaper review a shortbread while on air. Now, Stephen, that is what's known as potentially disastrous. Don't swallow or eat now. Wait till the news bulletin. Carry on.
I'm a nobody. Get me in anywhere. This is the headline in The Independent. And it seems that it's the peak season for non-ebrities. Do you know what they are?
Yes.
They're celebrity wannabes. And so they've made up a sort of a hot list of these non-ebrities that just desperately want to be celebrities, don't they?
We've looked at them. There's how many? Seven. And we didn't... at the beginning, I didn't recognise any of them. One's described as a pop flop.
Well, these are the ones that are going to be in the new I'm a Celebrity, Get Me
and
Out
you
of
don't
Here
know, but
as
you
well.
Are Australian.
Yes.
And
but I've been here for a while.
And this blogging man clearly spends all his life in the basement of his dirty, dirty shop telling stories to Wayne in Connecticut. So is it any wonder you don't know who the celebrities are?
It's a bit scary. I recognise a chef and I recognise a former Five pop star.
We're going to come to your list of non-entities to make them entities by outing them on BBC London. We're going to talk more about Western Supermare. Any calls on how you tell a five-year-old who God is? Any calls on Western Supermare? Any calls on being fat? In fact, generally, we'll talk. We're open to talking. 020-722-42000. And we might do a bit of paper reviewing as well. Now we've, you know, cracked the ice. 020-722-42000.
On 94.9 FM. BBC London.
It's 12:30. The headlines. London's drivers could face tougher penalties for speeding. Those who drive well above the limit could lose 6 points from their licence. That means motorists with just 2 speeding offences could be banned from the roads. A fifth potential suicide bomber in the failed attacks on London in July 2005 has pleaded guilty to his part in the plot. Manfo Asiedu was charged with conspiracy to cause explosions and is due to face a second trial on Monday. Operations have been cancelled and sick patients have been moved. leaked following an outbreak of flies in an East London hospital. It's believed the problems at Newham General Hospital have been caused by a new recycling system. The three people accused of murdering the British student Meredith Kircher in the Italian city of Perugia have been told they could be remanded in custody for a year. In a court hearing, their lawyers were handed a 19-page dossier of the evidence gathered by police. The 21-year-old student from South London was found dead in her room last week. She'd been stabbed in the neck. London's weather mostly cloudy to start this morning with a few outbreaks of rain as well, but getting dry and even sunny later on. Highs today of 11 Celsius. The temperature at the moment in central London is 7 Celsius, 45 Fahrenheit. BBC London 94.9. There's more at 1 o'clock.
Victoria, I'm worried. I haven't even had the good manners to say good evening tonight.
I've been stifling the sobs and tears, Tessa.
But I've just been so busy. I've had all these top-end celebrities. Too good, really, to go in the jungle.
It's been a fantastic listen.
Oh, you say all the right things. Have you ever been to Weston-super-Mare?
No, I never have. But I do have a five-year-old who thinks that God is a vegetarian.
Oh, I love it. Did you tell him that? Did you
I eat no mung beans. He's decided that of his own accord. And also he's decided that God is infinity.
How does he know what infinity is?
I don't know.
He's going to go to one of Tony Blair's special schools if he carries on like this.
Oh, not.
For the gifted child. Yes, to infinity and beyond with Victoria's five-year-old son who believes God is a vegetarian. Why did he therefore invent cows that are edible? I don't know. Ask your son that.
I will.
Thank you, Victoria. We appreciated that contribution. Isn't she wonderful? Look how good she looks so late at night as well.
You're listening to London's radio station.
BBC London Breakfast with Joanne Good.
There's a great demolition taking place in Hackney as we were filming, and I got him to film that just for my own personal pleasure, because I do love demolition.
And her dedicated, trustworthy and straight-talking team.
You have to be a certain age to qualify for the Saga one.
50.
All right.
You could have five of them, Joe.
Shut up.
Bringing you London's biggest news stories throughout the show.
This is the 19th violence death of a teenager in London this year.
Plus your calls, texts and emails.
It only costs £3 for non-residents to dump in Bromley. Laura in West Wickham.
Weekday mornings from 6.
On BBC London 94.9.
Looking ahead to next week on The Breakfast Show, Joe Good and the team are joined by Catchphrase legend Roy Walker and ex-Corrie star Sally Lindsay, and that's all from 6 on Monday. By the way, you've got no idea, Wayne in Connecticut, USA, how much pleasure you gave my producer, Stephen. He gets very, very excited by individuals who email or text or contact us via the telephone who don't live in London, which I think is a bit Londonist of him. But if you are listening and you're not in London, just please get in contact, because it's wonderful to see Stephen so happy. A middle-aged man of 40, apparently they're the most depressed creatures in Britain today, and yet he actually looks genuinely thrilled. 020 722 40,000, if you don't live in London, any information on Weston-super-Mare gratefully received. One famous person lives in Weston-super-Mare. Do you know who she is?
Well, she's dead now. Jill Dando.
No. No, oh. No, you're so wrong. Oh. There's another famous person who lives in Weston.
John Cleese's mother.
No.
She's in an old people's home there.
She's not famous, is she? I mean, she's not very famous, this woman. If she was, she wouldn't live in Weston-super-Mare. But she is famous by proxy, a bit like John Cleese's mother, but younger.
Oh. Don't look at me.
Kimberly, come on.
I'm clueless.
Sorry, she's on from Australia.
You don't know. Okay, we'd like to know what you think of the word pufter. Should it be used on air liberally? Could I just say hello? And by the way, we've got pufter Clayton Littlewood in the studio. Would that be okay? Just doesn't sound very okay, does it?
No, doesn't.
Not in that context.
The Soho blogger's going to give us a bit of his blog very shortly. And Kimberly Howie, who is Australian, she's a broadcaster, very pretty. Not that that matters on the radio, but I thought I'd share it with you. Now, give us a story, Rory.
Well, we're talking about Weston-super-Mare that's in Somerset. I've got one here. I'll just read the first line. A sleepy village hall became a den of depravity when two lesbians hide it for a mass party of sadomasochists in Winsham in Somerset, which normally hosts the WI's Jam and Jerusalem meetings. I thought, how fabulous is that?
Well, that's progress, isn't it? When you were a kid in Somerset, you had to crawl into a bar once a month.
Do you know what? There was one lesbian in the whole town while I was there then. Her name was Julie Pooley. Now, I thought it was bad for me. Can you imagine being the only lesbian in town?
Julie Pooley.
Yeah, she was known as Julie Pooley.
Was that her real name, or was it like Puffy Peter?
I don't know.
A horrid, cruel name.
She used to repair boats.
Julie Pooley.
Prepared boats.
Can I ask a question? Why is it there seem to be more gay men than gay women?
It's more acceptable, I think, for gay men. It was then to come out because there's more visibility of gay men on in the media, on TV. You think of, say, 20 years ago, an out lesbian. There hardly was one. So there's no role models.
I can't think of it. Except for that Fiona Ron McCran, what's she called? Come on, Scottish woman, famous lesbian, comedian, help, 0207224000. Don't know, can't remember her name. Mm.
Oh, Rona Cameron.
Rona Cameron, that's it.
You see, they don't exactly roll off the tongue, if you pardon the expression.
If we could do it. Let's do, will we do famous lesbians? I know it's a bit hackneyed, but come on. 0207224000. Now, some people would say, and is this generalising, just like... I mean, you know, people will say, oh, well, gay men, you know, they have more of a bent towards the arts and, you know, performing, and lesbian women don't. Would that be something that holds up, or is it just that lesbian women are more discriminated against?
I just think it's... They're probably 20 years behind gay men at the moment in terms of their culture and being more in the forefront in the public eye.
But doesn't it become a self-fulfilling prophecy? Like we say, oh, you know, gay men do chat shows, so more gay men like Julian Clary or Graham Norton are given chat shows, or black men run fast, so you get more children encouraged to run fast if they're black. Or, do you know what I mean? It almost becomes like the stereotype becomes fulfilled. It's like quite a weird catch-22, isn't
it? Well,
it
is, but I think women are a bit secondary still in society, aren't they, in terms of
generally, in
offices. You know, if you go into any corporation, the women are very rarely at the top of the tree, and I think that's the same in gay culture. They're not quite up there visibility wise. Do you know what I mean?
So you think
it's a bit harder, I think, as a lesbian to get into the public eye.
Except for Rona Cameron, I can't think of a single famous.
Well, there you go. That's proof, isn't it? Then
Katie Lang. That's the only one I can think of.
I didn't know she was gay.
you really?
I didn't think I did. No.
Famous.
You thought it was a man.
No, I didn't. 0207224000. We're now going to go to Manna. She's a very regular caller.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a teenager. Our teenage listener. We have a representative from every section and generation of the community, and Manna ticks the teenage box. Hello, Manna.
Hello, Deborah. How are you?
How's the last week been in teenage Manningland?
It's been fine. It's been fantastic.
Okay, do you want to tell us what you've been up to?
Nothing much. Doing bits and pieces of coursework and all this and that.
Coursework? See, not all teenagers are on the rampage on BMX bikes with high knees and hoods. Not our Manna. Hard working, nose to the grindstone.
Yeah,
hard work. Every stereotype. What coursework have you been doing, Manna?
I'm doing childcare.
Childcare?
Yeah.
It's very mature.
I thought it was easy peasy, but how about it's hard.
Okay, so what kind of coursework do you do for childcare?
Childcare, basically you have to know the basic stuff, what 6 months, 8 months, 5 years old, 2 years old, it's complicated.
I bet it is. You have to add up for a start, don't you? That sounds pretty tough nowadays, given the numeracy levels.
Since September, I'm on my fourth coursework already.
Four pieces of coursework since September. Did you get maths GCSE?
Yep.
Yeah, so you're a bright spark. And finally, Manna, was there any particular reason why you rang up?
You're talking about arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me and my brothers, apparently, argue 24/7 about anything. We just want to be, he wants to be right, that's all.
Do you have, let me ask my studio guest, Clayton, did you have brothers or sisters in Western Sydney?
Yes, I've got two sisters. Hello, Sarah. Hello, Tori.
Are they listening?
Yeah, they're listening.
Oh, that's lovely. That's really beautiful.
And a brother called Jason.
Well, you had a full crop.
Yeah, I was the eldest. I am the eldest. I still am.
And how did, when you were in Western Supermare, because we've kind of got into your soap opera lifestyle,
God, yeah,
crawling into this half gay bar once a month, petrified.
Picking up 70-year-old gay man.
Looking for Julie Pooley mending the bones.
No teeth.
And what?
Great blowjobs.
Oh,
there we go. There's a tip.
Sorry, yeah.
Dear me, I'm all a quiver. How did you tell Jason and Claudia or Caroline or whatever they're called,
Sarah,
that you were gay?
Well, there's 2 years difference between us all. I told my sister first. In fact, someone told her for me. I was about to tell her and he said, have you told her you're gay yet? And I said, I was just about to.
And how old was she?
She was 15, so I was 21.
Whoa.
But I think she knew anyway, I think. And my dad said, when I finally told him, he said, well, I knew years ago. I said, well, I wish you'd told me, because I wasn't sure.
And we see, because fathers often find it hard, don't they?
No, they...
Or don't they? You, the soap operas, they're portrayed as finding it hard.
Yeah, no, they've been very, very welcoming. They've been the perfect parents. They've met my partner, my previous partner, welcomed them in as a son. So they've been absolutely perfect. I think the turmoil really was in my head, because I felt like I was the only gay person in town.
You were probably the only out one of your age.
Yeah, of mine. So I think it was more in my head that I felt, and I think if I'd only opened up at the time to them, you know, they did say, why didn't you tell us earlier? And it's like, well...
It's probably because you had a stereotypical idea of how they'd respond.
Yeah, well, the only people I saw on telly at that point was John Inman or Larry Grayson or, you know, Quentin Crisp. So that, and I thought, well, I'm not like that. So maybe I'm not, maybe it's just a phase. But then after about 6 years, I thought, this is a really long phase.
Not growing out of this one.
Yeah, it's still here. You know,
I've just remembered Manna's still on the line. Are you listening, Manna?
Yeah, I'm still listening.
Okay.
Fascinating story.
Okay, well, listen, thank you for bringing up the brother and sister thing.
Yeah.
Do you like my Soho blogger? He's nice, isn't he?
Yeah, he's nice.
Yeah, good.
I'll look into it. Oh, yeah, and Tessa?
Yeah?
Now your position shows that the MySpace thing.
MySpace thing, did
you say? You're into MySpace.
Your Tessa position, what, that thing.
Oh, she's talking.
I can't get linked into it.
She can't access my appreciation society. Someone's probably closed it down, Manna, but thanks anyway for trying.
No, closed it down, but I just can't get hold of it.
Okay, well, I can't help you there. I'm rather embarrassed. It was a listener that set it up, and this is a story that everyone hears every week. A listener set up the Tessa Dunlop Appreciation Society on Facebook, and he then texted me and said, please, could you tout for members, because no one's joined. Thank you, Manna. Bye.
Bye.
That's lovely, Manna. Just a couple of texts, and then we'll continue with the newspaper review. We ought to do the front pages quickly, actually. The text machine's been frozen, and so we've had a lot of texts just in. Why bother? This is about milk delivery. Why bother to get the milk delivered to your door? Supermarkets are way cheaper. Did you get your iPhone today, or is it just overhyped? That's from Ethan in Brixton Hill. What is the iPhone? I heard about this. People are queuing for it, aren't they?
Yeah, it's the new... Actually, there's a bit about it in the papers. It's the new, like an iPod.
Yeah.
It's sort of a hybrid of the iPod and a mobile phone. And it's new fang. And you get the internet on it, and it's all flashy.
But you get the internet on BlackBerry. Why do we need something else?
I think that it's a bigger screen. It works a lot quicker. Mm. And the images come up and it's a lot clearer and they've all gone mad for it. But I think there's something about you have to sign on for an 18-month contract with a particular phone company if you get it. So,
so sounds like a rip-off. How much do they cost?
I'm not sure.
0207224 2000. How much do iPods cost? No, not iPods. iPhones. How ridiculous. Hi, Tessa. Can your male guest please explain why his Soho shop is called Dirty White Boys? Or did I hear that wrong? What clothes are sold there? That's from Hayden.
It's called Dirty White Boy. No, you didn't hear wrong. It's named after a Foreigner track from the 70s. They did a song called Dirty White Boy. So we do get a lot of people coming in saying that your name of your shop's racist. It's like, well, who's it racist against? I can't understand. So I have to explain it.
Do you why they think that you're being positively discriminative towards the white man, or are you inferring nasty things about the white man?
I don't know what they hint at. So I just say, well,
don't you ask them?
Well, I do. I say, but it's named after a pop song, and I said I don't mind being called a dirty white boy. I'm quite flattered, really.
I am a dirty little white boy from Western Super Bear. I'll have you know.
Exactly.
Then we have this regular listener who gets very annoyed because every show he says I mention where I live. And so he said, Tessa, Loughborough Junction, you couldn't resist mentioning it yet again. I give up. Notting Hill, Notting Hill, Notting Hill, he says. Western Supermare must be a dump if the Lord of the Manor is Geoffrey Archer. That's
Pat.
Ah. Yeah. Of course.
Geoffrey
you
Archer's
grew up
from
with Jeff.
I know. How embarrassing is that? He's the mayor of... I think he's the mayor of Western Supermare, something like that. How embarrassing having him as your...
He's a liar. Liar,
knickers on fire, just come out of prison and all.
Anybody
that,
else famous from Western Supermare? Come on, we can do better than Geoffrey Archer. Hi, Tess and guests. Your Aussie guest, Kimberly Howie, sounds wowie. That's from Frank in Wandsworth. He says, that voice does it for me.
And very good rhyming too, Howie and wowie.
He put some time into that text. It's beautiful. By the way, if you want to send a text, this seems to be on fire tonight, 07786 200 949. Hey, Tess, I know the famous person you talked about. Ah, yes, you know I said somebody famous.
On Good Housekeeping.
From Western Supermare.
Oh, yes.
No, somebody famous from Western Supermare lives in Western Supermare. I know the famous person you talked about, a certain daughter of a certain shoulder padded Joan Collins. That's from Barry in Stratford. Yes. Yes, but what is her name? Joan Collins' daughter.
Oh, Tara Newley.
Thank you. She lives in Western Supermare.
She does.
She does.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and she
with
loves.
All that money and you'd live in Western Supermare.
And I can tell you something else.
Why did you go on honeymoon there? I can't.
Let me finish with Joan Collins' daughter. What's she called? Tara Newley. She loves Western Supermare so much, and this is totally true. She called her son Western. Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
I want to go there.
Well, it's a good job she doesn't like Littlehampton, then, isn't it? Bognor Regis.
That's beautiful. In fact, I've just got a lovely idea. Let's a call in, please, on people who are named after places. Romeo. No, Bex and Bex.
Oh, Brooklyn.
Poshes. Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yes, I think there was a column or an article I read where they said everybody who's named after a place should have to go and live there. So Weston will always have to live in Weston Supermare. Brooklyn is not so bad in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, no.
0207 22 4 2000. Oh, you've got somebody else who wants to talk to you about your blog. Did you post it on your blog?
I didn't tell people to phone in, I promise.
This is just a big ego massage.
It's not, I didn't
promoting
do.
His column.
You're pleased.
Me and my big column.
He's doing a Julian Clary on us. Before I let you speak to a fan, punishment is reading out a dry, depressing headline from World News.
Oh, from work.
Come on, educate us.
Oh, no, I picked up the Sun, you know. So I just
down. Give him the Financial Times.
Every paper I picked up, there was this thing about Kate Moss saw David Cameron and thought he was a plumber.
I love it.
And I thought, I wonder why. Is that because of the way he looked or the way he smelled or, you know?
That's hilarious.
Because he's got a pink face?
Well, it's in about three papers. Mm. Kate Moss thought...
Well, read us,
David Cameron.
Contextualise it.
Supermodel Kate Moss mistook Tory leader David Cameron for a plumber, he reveals. So he even admitted it. No, you wouldn't want to admit
read
it, would
on.
You?
Yeah, man
I'm not going to read the whole thing. You don't want the whole
man
thing.
Man of the people. Bizarrely, the inverted snob in him will think that coming from Eton, it's quite cool to be recognised as a plumber.
Actually, Kimberly's got a story about David Cameron, haven't you?
Well, I actually met him briefly when he came in.
No.
Yes.
When he came in here?
He came in here and he
when
sat
did he
down
come
with
in
Vanessa
here?
And this was, it was probably a couple of months ago
did
now.
Did Vanessa flirt with him?
No, she didn't.
Did she not like him?
She was fantastic. She was very straight with him and went right to the point, as she does.
What is the
she
point?
She was wonderful.
What is the point of David Cameron?
He looked very... Very clean cut, very, you know, well dressed and
public schoolboy.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Quintessential public schoolboy.
No, but what else did you say? Come on.
And this is just I think he looked a little bit sort of vacant.
Like he was on prescription.
No,
drugs.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I did not say that.
Just said a bit dumb, didn't you?
No, he just did. Yeah, he looked maybe he was very busy.
Do you think a bit but do you know what?
Maybe he was a bit scared of, you know, what was happening.
I think that famous people I had the same experience when I interviewed Lynette from Desperate Housewives, the blonde one.
Oh, okay.
She had a vacant look. And I think a lot of famous people, maybe Botox. I think it's like a protection thing.
Yes.
Because so many people are at them, flustering them, wanting stuff.
Maybe.
They kind of withdraw.
Yeah.
Mm,
and there's this little vacant, kind of slightly detached mode they go in when they're in the public eye.
Almost like when they put the dark glasses on.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can't see within.
She looked at me, but she looked through me.
Yeah.
In fact, anybody else who's ever met a vacant famous person, 020-722-42000, so far, what is she called, Lynette? What's her name?
I don't watch.
Oh. Come on, what's the name
she
of the
She was
actress?
Really big in the 80s, wasn't it? There's two blondes, isn't there? There's the busty one. Is it that one?
No, it's
not the other
Lynette's
one.
Lynette's the one, the older-looking one with children, who's always put upon.
He's got a famous husband.
Somebody will know. 020-722-42000. Now we're allowed to go to your fan. You've been very good. You've done your newspaper reviewing. Well done, little Pat. Mars.
It's a good job they can't see me. I just realised my nails are filthy.
Now stop it. Dirty white boy. name of his shop, by the way. Not being racist. Mars, how are you?
I'm well. It's not actually Mars.
Morris.
And I have to clarify something else as well. I'm not a fan.
Oh, God, an enemy.
Not
I've got
fan,
an enemy.
I'd actually like to hear some of the blog. You said ages ago that you were going to do some of the blog. and it's it hasn't been done.
So you want to go to bed and you're fed up with me being a radio tease?
I'm playing a Scrabble tournament in Luton tomorrow morning. And I would also, Tess, I've just moved into a house near Myatt's Fields, around the corner from...
My doctor's at Myatt's Fields Health Centre, that's my doctor.
Oh, maybe, is he any good? Because actually I'd be looking for a...
Dr. Whitmer, he's Scottish and lovely.
Is he?
Yes, I like him a lot. Yes, he deals with me. I go in crying and come out smiling.
What's his name?
Doctor, I'm not sure I should give away names of doctors on air, should I? I don't know, but there's a very good Scottish doctor there.
In the Myatt's Fields Health...
Yes.
Where's the Myatt's Fields Health Centre?
Well, you can't miss it. It's in the centre of Myatt's Fields. It is the health centre. We have to move on, says Stephen, my producer. Look, you're the one that wanted us to hurry to the blog. You've got a Scrabble tournament, Dodo. Right, we're now going to the blog, OK, Morris?
Oh, also, I'm curious to know where the dirty white shop... the dirty white shop is...
On Old Compton Street in Soho.
You're sounding scared. Are you worried that Morris plays Scrabble and Luton might not be savoury?
I don't want to go to the brothel either. Just want to clarify that.
Well, actually, funny you should say that, because one of the blogs I've got here is on how to visit a brothel.
Oh, OK. Well, I don't think that's the most complicated thing in the world.
No, there are some there's some rules
there's
that
some
everyone
tips.
Needs. Yeah, some little tips.
OK, well, Morris, I can't thank you enough. When you visit the shop... Would you please call in this show and tell us what it was like?
I won't promise, but I might do, Tess.
Thank you, Morris. I love having you as my neighbour. I look forward to seeing you in the doctor's surgery.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, bye.
Oh, that was lovely, Morris. Okay, now we're going to have the blog.
I didn't ask him to phone in, honestly.
I'm almost thinking, because Kimberly's been commended for her pretty voice.
She has. Do you think and cracking bust.
Oh, well... What bust? Anyway, it's joyous to look at.
Actually, both of them here.
I was told earlier I had wide breasts by the Daily Mail columnist. I'm not sure whether that was a compliment or not. Do you think Kimberly should maybe read it out? Because she's got a nice... Not that you haven't got a nice voice.
Do you mind reading...
Is it saucy? No.
It is saucy. It's
there are rules, aren't there?
Yeah.
OK.
Is Claire Balding a lesbian? Famous gay women, says a text. Sandy Toxfig... Somebody I can't pronounce, Melissa Etheridge, Pat Butcher, yeah, we didn't get her, and she goes out with the newsreader, Maurice Stewart, who's gay, Sandra Bernhard.
Comedian. Yeah.
Claire Balding, Beth Ditto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know she was a lesbian. I knew she was fat, but not lesbian. this is from Hayden. He's so good. Then, hi, Tessa. Do you have a few young listeners? I'm 16, and I always listen, but I'm too lazy to call. I can't, you know, because she's 16, this text, she's done it all in special. Come here, Kimberly, you're
in
young.
Cool text.
Come and see if you can understand this. Yeah, you know, 16-year-olds have that, and you have to come right round.
What am I doing?
Take your headphones off, that's it. It's a bit of a palaver, but you can do it. We're getting to you. Fumi, this is from somebody in Thamesmead. See if you can read that. Hi, read into the microphone.
Okay, so, hi, Tessa, you do. I have a few young listeners. I'm 16. I always listen to, but too lazy to call. I'll de-show someday. Maybe I'll call the show someday. Fumi.
Fumi. Right. I'm glad you couldn't do either, you old hag. Right. Hi, Tessa. Not from London, but listening every night on the M25. Great show, but the comedian's very unfunny. Yes, I thought my comedians were a bit unfunny, but I didn't want to crush them and say so. I mean, you can't go, that wasn't funny, because my brother's a stand-up comedian, and I know how... hurtful it is when people say how unfunny he is. And he's not actually that unfunny, but when he started out, I think they were quite new comedians.
Yeah.
It sounded like they were doing a little play.
It was quite surreal, wasn't it?
We were
next door thinking, what's going on there?
Yeah. We sort of came in halfway and we thought that maybe they're doing a little radio play or something. Yeah.
Do you know, I've just realised something, that Morris is still hanging on for the blog and we haven't read it yet.
Gabriel, okay. if you read it out, you won't know where the jokes are.
Okay,
so I don't know
maybe
if
let the man...
I'm only saying that because...
No, let the blogger do it.
It's
I'm
about
happy with
timing.
That.
Sure, I understand. It's all in the delivery.
This will take about 2 minutes.
It's fine,
right?
We've got 2 minutes. Just to clarify, iPhones, courtesy of the Cheshire Trucker, cost £300.
Ooh.
Although I did read in my newspaper they cost £269. But maybe that was just if you got them off the back of a lorry. By the way, we're now going to hear Clayton Littlewood's blog. He is the Soho blogger. from the Dirty White Shop.
Dirty White Boy.
The Dirty White Boy Shop.
Don't call it a dirty shop.
Above a brothel, or maybe beneath it.
Beneath a brothel.
Beneath the brothel. And he sits in a red chair looking out onto Old Compton Street, taking notes. Here we have Clayton.
Okay, this blog is on how to visit a brothel. So I work below a brothel, and having spent many a long hour either sat by the window watching guys come and go or chatting with the girls who work above, I feel I'm in a very good position to write about the etiquette on how to visit one. So this is very important stuff, so pay attention. Okay, here goes. Rule one, dress. Dress for the occasion, or at least wash. I know you're not going on a date with Nicole Kidman, but put yourself in the girl's position. They have to deal with smelly drunks, unshaven drug addicts, and heaven forbid, men in corduroys. So do them a favour, shower beforehand, paying special attention to the genital area. Rule two, approaching the brothel. When walking past the Dean Street brothel, do not on any account look nervous. Sex is just like breathing, and we all have to breathe. So once you see the neon sign, march confidently up the stairway, and don't pay any attention to the nosy old queen gawping at you through the window next door, me. Rule three, brothel rules. All financial arrangements are conducted beforehand, and the price varies according to what you pick from the menu. Don't haggle. This isn't a car boot sale. If you can't afford £50, go and see the Italian hooker that haunts Peter Street. She, in inverted commas, will be happy to oblige. Rule four, check for orifices. How many times have I heard a man running down the stairway shouting, "No one told me she had a dick"? Oh, at least once. Do not assume that every hole has a silver lining. They don't. Some have stitches. If in doubt, ask to see the goods. This isn't Benetton and you can't have your money back if it doesn't fit. Gosh, rule five.
Wow. Very avant-garde, this couple. They weren't like that in my day.
Rule five, orgasms. Oh, baby, you're so big. On hearing this, do not assume that the woman below you wants to be kissed, married, taken on a date. I hear this echoing down the stairway all day long, and so you won't fool me.
Is it just something they say to flatter the customer?
Exactly, yeah, to get a bit more money. Rule six, do not run out. It implies guilt. Here's what to do. Once you've mopped up, pop your Viagra penis back into your grey and Y fronts. You can tell this isn't a gay brothel, can't you? Pull up your slacks, button up your polyester T-shirt, and then calmly make your way down the stairway. Once outside, don't be nervous. March briskly on, just as you would if you'd just left your local bank after making a small deposit, which in effect you just have.
Well, there are the rules.
They are the golden rules of visiting a brothel.
Do you know what I sense? That Morrison Camberwell is truly delighted he stayed up. He may not get the 50-point word in his Scrabble contest in Luton tomorrow, but I think he's gained in another way, don't you?
He's got some tips.
Well, he certainly does when he goes to Old Compton Street to visit your shop, in inverted commas. Just a quickie on Western Supermare.
Yes.
And this is true, and I know this because I've been to the Winter Gardens.
Oh, the Winter Gardens,
The Winter Gardens in Western Supermare. Ballroom dancing is big in Western Supermare.
It
That's
is.
From Paddy in Wandsworth with three kisses. That's great. That is so true.
It is very big there,
And here we have, earlier we had iPhone cost £300. Darren says, "Hi Tessa, the new iPhone costs £260. Love the show, Darren." But who does he love, Darren? Does he love Clayton? Or does he love Kimberly?
Or does he love Tessa?
Yeah, yes, with wide breasts. Famous lesbian, Jermaine Queer, Gaz in Hanwell. Jermaine Greer isn't a lesbian.
No, she's not a lesbian.
She's a feminist. Common misconception, all feminists are lesbians.
Yeah. Stereotype.
Stereotype, they're not all Julie Pooleys who build boats.
No. Or Puffy Peters, yeah.
Dear me, I'm stressed, I'm sweating. Victoria. Victoria's coming in. Our newsreader's going to tell us a bit about Western Supermare after the news. Do you want to stay to listen to it?
Yes.
Somebody's headphones are whistling. You need to turn the volume down. I know it's difficult. When one wants to hear oneself, it has to be loud. BBC London, do call 020 722 42000.
BBC London on 94.9 FM.
The Sony award-winning station for breaking news.
This is BBC London.
It's 1 o'clock. I'm Victoria Smith. London's drivers could be banned from the roads if they're caught speeding more than once. The new government proposal would see a penalty of 6 points for those driving at 45 miles per hour or over in a 30 mile per hour zone. That's instead of the current 3 points. Cynthia Barlow from the charity Road Peace, which works with victims of traffic accidents, told the BBC if the plans become law, they would be effective.
About 3,500 people are killed on our roads every year, and about a third of those involve speeding. Speeding does kill, and we should stop killing people on that scale. You have to be quite firm about speeding, as firm as we used to be on drink driving, and that stopped a lot of drink driving, and now we need to do the same with speeding.
A man has pleaded guilty to conspiring to cause explosions on the London transport network on the 21st of July 2005. Manfo Asiedo, who's 34, left a rucksack containing explosives in a West London park. Earlier this year, four men were jailed for life after being convicted of conspiring to murder commuters on the same day. Our Home Affairs correspondent June Kelly is at the Old Bailey.
Earlier this year, four men were convicted at Woolwich Crown Court of conspiracy to murder following the failed bombing attacks on the London transport network on the 21st of July 2005. Now, Manfo Asiedu, at that trial, the jury couldn't agree in his case. He was due to stand trial again next week at Kingston Crown Court, but this afternoon he has just in the last few minutes pleaded guilty to conspiracy to cause explosions. Asiedu should have been the fifth bomber on that day, but he actually dumped his device before he got onto the transport network. He was supposed to get on at White City Tube Station in West London. In fact, he dumped his device in a park near Wormwood Scrubs Prison.
Operations have been cancelled and sick patients moved following an outbreak of flies in an East London hospital. It's believed the problems at Newham General Hospital have been caused by a new recycling system. Janet Murphy's father has been treated at the hospital. She's told BBC London 94.9 she was disgusted to see sticky fly paper hanging from the ceiling of his ward.
The flies were visible because you had coils hanging from the ceiling with 3/4% forward dead flies. You had flies on patients. You had flies on the bed tables. There was people with newspapers trying to, like, kill them away, but it was so fierce. You could not know that they were visible.
And the Newham University Hospital Trust has apologised for the inconvenience and distress and says patient care remains the highest priority for the Trust and that they're reviewing the situation on a daily basis. A judge in Italy has ruled there is enough evidence to continue questioning the three suspects in the murder of the South London student Meredith Kircher. Miss Kircher's American housemate Amanda Knox, her housemate's boyfriend and a local bar owner can now be kept in custody for at least a year while the investigation continues. Our Europe reporter Jack Izzard has more.
Today, a judge listened to the evidence against Amanda Knox and the two other prime suspects and agreed with the police that there was enough evidence for these three people to be remanded in custody. Now, basically, that means they're going to be kept in jail for potentially as long as a year. Now, I don't think they'll be in jail that long necessarily, but this is all about buying time. Time for the investigators to go over that evidence again, build up